It's Behind the Bots time.
Charles Studios in Norwalk, Connecticut. This is Behind the Bots, the podcast that brings you the stories of the builders behind the bots. I'm Luke.
I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Zoe.
And today on the podcast, we're previewing April NHRL with our good friend, Team Honeycracked Captain slash Robotics Mentor Extraordinaire slash Team Mammoth Pit Crew member on BattleBots, Zoe Lambert. We'll wrap up the show with this week's installment of Robots Around the World. Oh, sorry. God. Lindsay.
Wow, Luke. If you like our show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn, CastBox, Player FM, and Podbean. You can follow us on Facebook at Behind the Bots and tell a friend. We really appreciate your support. On over to you, Luke.
I just totally stepped on your line. Like, we've been doing this for almost 5 years. Like,
literally 5 years next month. In 2 weeks, it's five
I'm sorry
years.
I make you nervous, Luke.
It's really true. You can't see my video, but I am blushing so hard right now. Okay. All right. Great. Time for this week's Combat Robotics News. I have three news items for you today. First up, catch live robot combat this weekend in California, Washington State, the UK, Poland, Germany, Italy, and Australia. It is a very, very packed weekend for robot combat. In Australia, they'll be fighting Antweight and Beetleweights on Sunday in Melbourne. In Italy, they'll be fighting Antweights at Robot Arena Challenge on Saturday in Rome. In Germany, the German Roboteers Association will be fighting Antweights, Beetleweights, 6-kilo robots, and Featherweights at Mad Metal Machines on Saturday and Sunday in Dortmund. In Poland, they'll be fighting Antweights at Robotic Arena 15 on Saturday in Warsaw. In England, they'll be fighting Antweights and Featherweights on Saturday at a farm in Hasselberry Plucknett. Across the country, Extreme Robots Live is back in action with heavyweight robots fighting Saturday and Sunday in Doncaster. On over to the U.S. Finally, in Washington, Washington State University will be fighting Antweights and Beetleweights in Pullman on Saturday. On the West Coast, the biggest event of the weekend will be the return of RoboGames, back for a second year in the San Francisco Bay Area, this time at the San Jose Convention Center in downtown San Jose. Obviously, it's not their second year in a row. They took a break. It's like, I don't know, their 25th year or something like that. Of course. And so everyone's going to be going to that. So if you're in the Silicon Valley this weekend, get over to San Jose, check out RoboGames. It is amazing. Simultaneously, the good people who run the Robot Combat League will hold their invitation-only 2024 National Championship at RoboGames, bringing together more than 100 of the country's top-ranked fairyweights, antweights, plastic ants, beetleweights, 12-pounders, 30-pound sportsmen, and 30-pound full combat robots. And here on the East Coast, the biggest event of the weekend is undoubtedly April NHRL, the league's fourth qualifying event of the season. More than 130 robots will compete this Saturday in Norwalk, Connecticut. Tickets to see it live are still available. I just saw that today we sold out for VIP, but general admission is still available. If you can't make it in person, we'll kick off the live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Check into the live chat and say hi. Speaking of NHRL, the league last week announced a number of rare mid-season rule changes to fix several rules they felt were unfair or otherwise broken. There are four major changes. First, flamethrowers will now be weighed dry. Second, flamethrowers will be limited to 6 ounces of fuel for safety reasons. And third, robots will get weighed before each match for compliance. The fourth change will happen later this season and will involve multibots. NHRL has convened a group of builders and staff to hammer out the changes surrounding multibots with the goal of making the fights more fair and more fun to watch. And finally, we want to extend warm congratulations to Team Monsoon Captain Tom Brewster and his wife Sarah on getting married earlier this month. Tom and Sarah forged their own rings using metal from one of Monsoon's weapon shafts. Congratulations to you two. And that's it for this week's news. Now, all right, before we get into our preview of April NHRL, Zoe, I would love to introduce you to people who may have just seen you on the stream, seen your robots, but kind of like want to know more. And full disclosure, I have never asked these questions. I don't know. It's like some of these questions are so weird. Like, I'm really curious about them, but like you can't just bring them up in normal conversation. Like, I would love to know. Zoe, how old are you? Like, how do you even ask that question if it's not on a podcast, you know? Like, I've talked to you, like, I don't know, 50 times easily, but I've never once asked this question that, like, is burning in my mind. I don't know. I look at your face. It's, like, unknowable. You seem very young, but I don't want to assume. Zoe, how old are you?
So, I'm 27. And you don't need to worry about not knowing what age I am. I mentor middle school students, and I've had parents ask me questions thinking I'm a middle schooler on the team and not one of the mentors. So
good. Okay. All right. I don't feel so bad. That's good. I know that you live in Maryland. Did you grow up in Maryland? Like, where are you originally from?
Yeah. So I grew up in Maryland. I've lived in Maryland my whole life. I mean, I've spent some time in other states for like maybe when I was really little, but I don't remember it. So Southern Maryland, I've grown up here and am still here.
Nice. Now, we know you as like a robotics mentor. Like, you show up with this massive team. I know that you have like this really great facility in Maryland. Outside of the robotics work, because I'm going to ask you all about that. What do you do for work? Like, what's your job?
I'm a computer scientist. I work with AI and sensor fusion.
Cool. Very cool. Now, like, when I first met you, you were like an FRC mentor. Now you're like a general robotics mentor, kind of like specializing in combat robotics. I would love to hear more about the program that you work with. Can you give us an introduction to how big the program is? How many students are in the program? Is it tied to a single school, or can anyone sign up if they're in your area? Can you introduce us to the program?
So, I volunteer with a nonprofit organization called Growing Stems, and Growing Stems hosts a variety of robotics programs from 3rd through 12th grade. And, before we had combat robotics, our combat robotics program is the only one that's kind of like for all ages, essentially. So we do a combination of VEX and FIRST. And so we have those teams for our 3rd through 12th grade. And I mentor specifically like our middle school program, which we do FTC right now. And then I'm also the program coordinator for our combat robotics program. So what Growing Stems does is it has all these different programs, and then we have different mentors who are in charge of each program and organizing it and everything. And it's not associated with any school, so this allows anybody in our area to come and have the robotics experience. So we have homeschoolers, private school kids, public school kids. Anybody can come and be a part of our programs. I think when I was on the team in high school, we actually had people who would travel like an hour just to come and be a part of our program during the week.
Wow.
So, we've had those programs for a long time. We started with FRC in 2021, I believe, and that was when it was just the FRC team. We started Growing Stems in 2010. Don't quote me on that. I think that's what the dates are, or the years are. And then we grew to having the elementary and the middle school programs, and then in 2021, we started our combat robotics program.
Very cool. How popular is the combat robotics program right now at Growing Stems?
So our combat robotics program mostly operates during the summer, when the other programs aren't really happening, like they are in their off season. And it's pretty popular. Our travel team, which is the team that you see come to NHRL, is all high school, college, and adults who participate in that. And I limit it to about like 15 to 16 people, depending on who's participating and how much help they need and stuff, just to make travel easier and resources easier and stuff. But we also, in our combat robotics like umbrella of programs, we have summer camps that are like weekend camps. So they use the FingerTech little wooden robots, and we call them termite camps.
Cool. That's fun.
So yeah, our younger kids, so elementary school kids, can do that over the weekend. They get to build the robot, and then we do like a little like round robin tournament on Sunday, and they get a little like trophy. And then we have our Ant Weight program, which is in-house. Everybody gets a kit with like basic electronics and everything, and they get to use the shop space, and we provide materials, and they build full combat 1 pound robots. And that's usually just like a June, July, and then the competition's in August. And then for high school and up is our travel team.
That's so cool. I'm going to say anecdotally, like every time I've ever talked to a student who is involved in FRC, they're all massive BattleBots fans. Like, I don't think I've ever met an FRC builder who doesn't love combat robotics as well, like as an idea. Is that your experience too? Like, you know, is it a hard sell to get kids to build fighting robots, or like do they not know about the sport and you're introducing it to them at all?
So most of the kids on FRC are interested in both, and yeah. I'm really actually happy that we have both programs because they complement each other well. It's not hard to convince them to build a combat robot, but it's sometimes hard to convince them that they can build one. Like, they want to build one, but on FRC, they have a whole team backing them up when they're building a robot. So telling them, hey, you can build a robot on your own. Like, you don't have to have a ginormous team. Like, you have the capability to do this. They feel like it'll be overwhelming because FRC bots are large and they have a lot of moving parts because the games are very complex. So sometimes they feel like it's going to be as overwhelming as that if they tried to like take on an FRC bot all by themselves. But usually once they build, we have a requirement that they need to do the Ant Weight program before they can be on the travel team. And then once they do the Ant Weight program and they learn like the basic electronics and like some basic skills when it comes to building a combat robot, they are full of confidence and ready to go.
That is so cool. I the last time that I went to talk to an FRC program, the kids' eyes lit up when I said, like, it's just basically just a weight limit. Like, you can build whatever you want as long as it's like it. Basically, you know, if you want to build a flamethrower, you can do that. Do you want to build a hammer bot? You can do that. And for them, you know, like that kind of flexed a different muscle, you know, because like FRC, everybody gets the same robot. Like, it has to be standardized, of course, you know. So, yeah, I can see how both programs really complement these young engineering minds, which is, yeah, very cool. We got a good question here from Lindsay. She asked before we started recording, why is your team called Team Honeycracked? Because honey is a liquid. It cannot crack. Where did the name come from?
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, if you look at our logo, it is a like hive and it's cracked open and the honey's dripping out of it. But that was a later thought. After my first event in July 2021, I was just kind of testing the waters and going to the event to see if I liked it. And after the competition, Cody and I were just driving home. And I was like, okay, we have to start a team now. We need a team name. Like, if we're going to have more robots, we need a team name. Right. And I think I even said, like, oh, Honeycracked. And I was like, that's not that good. We'll come back to it later. And I never went back to it later. It just stayed Honeycracked.
Wow. Okay, all right, that's good. What does it mean? Like, you guys
are... I still have questions.
Yes, okay, so, like... this is going to make me kind of sound old, but, like, I don't know. For some reason, I thought that cracked was, like, you're really good, like, you're cracked.
Oh,
I was okay. Like, it needs to be B-related because all of our teams are B-related. Be themed. I was like, honey cracked. I was like, got sure. It. But I have it. No idea. I've been playing video games a bit more, and I feel like when other people use it, they mean that, like, they're broken or something. So right. I don't know. I feel like I got that part wrong, but it doesn't matter. It's a decent name. So
I love it even more now.
Lindsay, we are no closer to understanding, okay?
Look, I still have questions, but I need to accept at this point that there might not be answers.
It's so funny because it's like you almost like chose like a random internet like generator, and now everyone knows what this is. You know what I mean? Like now everyone's just going with it. It's like
Childish Gambino.
Yes, I was gonna exactly say yes. All right, great. Okay,
thank you, Zoe. Honey,
And then, really quickly, I know that you were on season 7 of BattleBots with Mammoth. Can you tell us how you got hooked up with Ricky and this massive monstrosity on BattleBots?
So what I've been told is that Brandon recommended me, and Ricky heard from members of Huge, I believe, about us. And recommended us to him. We met Ricky and saw Mammoth at an ant weight competition in Baltimore. I think they're called like macro events.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of was like, "Yeah, you want to be on the team?" And we went to the shop and we kind of talked to him for a little bit, and it was as easy as that. I mean,
wow. Ricky Willems, you know, just poaching our best and brightest, you know, talent from NHRL for his own purposes. It's great. That's very on brand for Ricky. I love that. We're jumping ahead a little bit, but I know that you are running his 30-pounder moccasin, his champion, 30-pounder moccasin this weekend. I really want to talk about it when we get to the 30-pounders, but it is very cool. I just love that the robot is having such success at 30 pounds. So super stoked to see its performance this weekend. But yeah, we will get to that shortly. We're going to go Beatles, then 12-pounders, then 30-pounders. So let's kick it off with our preview of the Beatles. We have a ton of Beatles coming this weekend to Norwalk, Connecticut to compete. Beatles from all over the world. Chris, Lindsay, Kyle, and I, again, are going to be calling fights all day long with our friends henchman Sam Hansen, Mammoth Captain Ricky Willems, and Shatter Captain Adam Wrigley. Adam is back for his second turn in the hot seat. There are going to be more than 130 robots competing across the 3 weight classes. Now, starting with the Beatles, Team WPI is sitting at the top of the roster with the top-seeded bots in the number 1, number 2, and number 3 positions, with the Flamethrower Clyde, built by WPI student Gabe Brown, March 2024 runner-up Red Panda, built by WPI student Jared Leibson, and Fully Defined, built by WPI grad, or nearly grad, Ian McInerney. Last time I talked to Ian, I felt like he was very close to graduating, so I will find out for sure this weekend. Now, this would be Ian's second time taking home a Golden Dumpster if he takes home a Golden Dumpster this weekend. He won one in November of 2022. Jaren is coming off of a powerful run just 6 weeks ago where he ended up in second place, losing to Team WPI Powerhouse Eruption. Now, nipping at their heels are perennial favorites Impact, Crush, Spartan, and IDK, who each have between 3 and 5 recent NHL events under their belts and more wins than losses at each of their showings. Your thoughts on the Beatles? Is there a Beatle to watch? Is this the Team WPI story again in the Beatles this weekend?
So this is what I think. I think that we have a really great field. I think that Clyde has a phenomenal chance just based on their record against the other kind of top runners here. So in my mind, that's who's got it. But what I'm really hoping to see is a long run by Impact. This is, you know what I mean? This is when it's going to get dialed in. It's been in enough events now. This is like kind of its make or break moment. If he's going to really go far with this design, this is when we're going to see it kind of break out and do really well. So that is the bot that I am emotionally betting on, if you will.
Yes. I I, you know, like, I'm so curious to see it. I mean, it's sitting in the number four seed, like, entering this competition. It may be seeded, of course, differently when we get to the actual bracket. But Impact hits hard. I just watched absolute brutality on its part at Motorama. I agree with you. Like, this is probably the biggest open field for that robot. So yeah, can't wait to see Impact's performance. But I also like, I will say I have had a soft spot for Crush for the longest time. And it is so cool to see, you know, this recent dad. I think his kid's now four months old. So, like, you know, this is a, this is like a sleep deprived, like, recent dad coming to the competition, and he is ranked number five, entering. So, I would love to see a Crush Golden Dumpster, you know, like in the future as well. Maybe it's this weekend. I think there's a lot of really, really good people who are sitting at the top of the rankings. I don't know. Maybe we'll see some other kind of strange dark horse that emerges as well, you know. Any other thoughts, like, kind of at the top of the field?
I did not realize that Chris was ranked so high. That's awesome. Yes. I remember when he came to his first event that we kept trying to help him. We kept, like, handing him parts and trying to get him to continue and get his robot running. And just to see how far he's come from that is amazing. Because he did great that day. Like, he didn't want to keep borrowing parts from us, so he forfeited his match when he could have, like, qualified then. And to see where he's at now, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Chris Monroe with Crush is ranked number 29 with 12-5 record across the last five events, which is very, very good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love his just vibe, cage side, you know? Like, he's very calm. He's calm in the pits. A couple events ago, like, I don't know, two events ago, came up, you know, said hi, kind of just checking in with Chris, as I always do, and I'm like, hey, how are things going? And he's like, yeah, I'm looking for, like, some critical part, you know, like, it was like an ESC or something, like, I've blown up my last one or something like that. Competition hadn't even started, and he was just totally calm, like, no frantic activity whatsoever, just like, hey, you know what, if someone's got it, then I'll compete. If not, I'll just go home early and it'll be fine. And it's just like, just that kind of chill energy I just love. And he's in it for the long run. So it's really cool to see him doing so well. Yes, Lindsay.
Yeah, so have we talked about Silent X yet? Like, I not know yet. That. Yeah, I know that it's kind of been under the radar for the last couple of events, but I don't think that it can fly that low for that long before it comes back up. So I think obviously it's always going to be a big threat when it's in the bracket. But then also, I don't know, like, looking at the competition, this could also be a good opportunity for Johnny Tsumpas and Spartan to maybe make a deep run. He is kind of flirted with, you know, the, like, semifinals a couple times. Maybe this is his opportunity to kind of take it farther than he has in previous competitions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm really interested in seeing Silent X because, in 2024, it's not getting the same weight bonus as a walker.
Yep.
And so, it kind of is back in the middle of the pack, which is interesting. It's like not really a spot that I typically think of when I think of Jameson Go. So kind of back down on more equal footing, how does Jameson innovate in 2024? Really interesting to see with Silent X. So yeah, I'm curious to see what he's got cooking from the last 6 weeks.
Is Silent X, he updated that to a hub motor recently, didn't he? Or was that Silent Spring?
I believe
Spring?
So. Yeah, I believe Silent X, yes.
I'm very interested to see how he keeps moving forward with that.
Yeah.
I just want to know if we'll ever get to see the rubber blade Silent X.
I hope so.
We need to have a rubber blade match.
Yeah, Lindsay and I are very interested in that. You know, that's our design ethos right there.
You're going to see a rubber steak blade one day before we all die. Just give me some time.
Yes. So, like, moving on to a couple of interesting robots, and then I'll, like, kind of open it up. But, like, as I was going through people's intake forms, I want to highlight a couple of brand new, unusual designs to watch for on Saturday. The first is Pretty Fly, built by chubby unicorn Captain Tim Hebert from Brandeis University. Pretty Fly is a horizontal flywheel flipper in the Beatles, which is very intriguing. The next one is Louis the 17th, a brand new robot from Combat Robotics at Cornell, another fully autonomous combat robot that promises to perform better than earlier autonomous robots that we've seen in the competition. Louis the 17th has multiple sensors on the robot that feed data to a computer board that has two modes, plan and RAM. So stoked about these two. I want to open it up. Are there other Beatles that we want to highlight, you know, Beatles to watch this weekend?
I'm personally excited to watch my friend's Beatles. So from Aiden from Team Defective, he's bringing a Angus, which also competed at RIT. But from my understanding, after RIT, he completely redesigned it. In just, I don't know, how many days has it been? 20 days since RIT?
Yeah.
So, that should be fascinating to see. And then, Jaren's my friend and he has Red Panda, and I'm really excited to see how well he does with that robot, considering he got second place.
Very cool. Yeah. I heard that he did really well at RIT as well. And yeah, it's like that's also been a robot that's been flying under our radar, but it has our full attention now. I really am looking forward to seeing its full fight list on Saturday. Red Panda. Yeah. Any other Beatles that we want to highlight, Lindsay?
Yeah. So I have three. The first is the return of Blackbird, but now being piloted by Arya, which is, you know, Anthony's daughter. So I know that he last year said he was going to retire Blackbird at the end of the year, and, you know, put it in the wings until, Arya was ready to kind of take over. And I did not realize that it was going to literally be this year. So, I'm very excited to see her. I know that she, has her robot, I think Dream. But now she's, you know, she's inheriting a very deadly, very, very successful robot in Blackbird. So it's going to be exciting to see, what she's able to do with it. She's under 10 years old. I don't know exactly how old she is, but it's going to be, awesome to see. Number two, a new Brazilian robot. We haven't seen a lot of Brazilian teams so far this year. But we have Cabrunco from Victor Hugo Salvador. So always exciting to see, you know, what the Brazilians have to bring. And then I don't know anything about this robot or this builder. Lulu Nance from Hewitt Robotics is bringing a robot called Choose Kindness. And I think that's so sweet in a sport where we're all designed to kill each other. So maybe that's a little tongue in cheek. I don't know, but I'm very interested.
I'm always down for Choosing Kindness. I feel like, I would also choose a friendly name for my first combat robot. So you brought up the Brazilians, and I'm so glad that you did, because we have a brand new Brazilian team that's also going to be coming, and they have a ton of robots. So this is going to be a team Goidaborgs. So there's going to be multiple Brazilian robots from this brand new team. So that is another big storyline to watch. I just love when a Brazilian team comes up, and competes in Norwalk, just because their robots are so aggressive. They're so interesting. It's like the evolution of the robots are different in South America. I was talking to a friend who is going to be heading down to Brazil to compete in one of their next events, and he was telling me, the philosophy down there is really different. It's like it's very meta focused. They see a robot that wins, everybody copies that robot, and then there's another robot that wins, and everybody copies that robot. And like over time, they've built this like very like heavy like focus on winning as a culture. And they love coming up here because we have really creative robots. Like we are much more about like combat robotics as a mode of self-expression. And we have a lot of control bots and a lot of different design types. So for them, it's like they love to just experience design diversity up here, basically. And a lot of those influences are making it down back to the Brazilian scene. So we're seeing a lot more design diversity in recent years in Brazil as well. So the cross-pollination is great. Love to see people traveling down there. Love to see them traveling up here and making just really a stronger sport altogether. Any other thoughts on the Beatles before we get into the 12s? Okay, good. All right, on over to the 12s, where Maximizer Captain Jake Hoffman hopes to shake off a rough showing in March, where they lost to Caldera 12 and Grim Ripper. Still, the robot will enter this competition ranked number one with a very impressive 16-4 record and two recent Golden Dumpsters. Here's hoping that Jake can recapture the magic this weekend. Standing in their way, though, is Jameson Goh and his number four ranked 12-pounder Psycho. This hard-hitting vert has gone 9-1 over the past two events and also has two Golden Dumpsters on the shelf, and no doubt eager to add more hardware. Your thoughts on the top of the 12s, Kyle?
Okay, so this 12-pound division, once again, is the most competitive weight class. It's crazy how that's developed at NHRL specifically. I know I brought this up before, but this was a throwaway weight class just a few years ago, and now it is literally where the big boys go to play. There are amazing bots in this competition. There's also some really weird new stuff, which we'll get into a little bit later. In my mind, this is Psycho's event. JMO's probably going to show up with Psycho, qualify with it, and like that's going to be his main focus for this event. I'm excited to see that. Psycho is a scary robot. He literally built it to be the apex predator of the 12s, and it's a very hard bot to beat, as you could tell by their record. So yeah, but Jake Hoffman could throw an upset in there. We'll see.
Lindsay, your thoughts on the 12s? You've got Maximizer sitting at the top, kind of struggling a little bit, at least recently. And then you got Psycho, which is just, I don't know, the T1000s, kind of lurking in the shadows. Who do you think is going to be taking home the Golden Dumpster this weekend in the 12s?
Well, to use Jake Hoffman's wording, he right now is locked in. I think that's what it is. He is fully right now, I think, committed and trying to manifest a victory over Psycho. He has a a playlist on Spotify. I forget what it was called, but it was basically like Beat JMO playlist. So he's really in it right now. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, really wanting to beat Jameson. I don't know if the matchup is in his favor. I do think that it would be, even at if Maximizer was like fully optimized, it was the perfect robot, it could not get better. I still think Psycho would have some advantage there, but I don't know. I could be wrong. It would be thrilling to see Jake kind of put the last few events behind him and come back and win. And I don't know that I'd put money on it, but I'm rooting for you, Jake. Is
Good, good. All
that
right.
harsh? I feel mean, but I'm
No,
not really
no,
mean.
no. We're
I
gonna put
talked
her on
to
a
Jake
t-shirt.
a lot, and he is very meticulous in his building of his robot and the
Yes.
updates he makes.
Yes.
He doesn't have a day that he doesn't work on his robot. he is constantly working on his robot, making sure it's in shape. And I would love to see him beat Psycho, just because Psycho is a really good bot, and I think that would be great for Jake. But I would be very interested to see the matchup. I think it could go either way.
Zoe, do you think that the top of the field for the 12s is going to come down to Maximizer and Psycho, or do you think there's another dark horse that might win the Golden Dumpster this weekend?
They're definitely the two that I would see making it to the end. I know that Void is also going to be there, and Trevor's already qualified, and I could see him doing pretty well with that robot. But I definitely think that Maximizer and Psycho are the top two for this competition.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I want to highlight a couple of 12-pounders that have interesting designs, and then I'll open it up to all of the 12-pounders that we want to talk about. First off, there's Carve, which is a pumpkin-themed robot that made its debut in January but ended up forfeiting both of its matches. Carve builder Robert Gannon has designed the robot to be a pumpkin-shaped cage spinner with room to attach anywhere from 2 to 6 pumpkin vine-inspired weapons that will, I'm guessing, spin around like flails. Very cool, very old school, possibly a little hint of Hella Chopper DNA in there. I really hope to see this pumpkin-themed robot in action this weekend. And finally, I want to highlight a brand new 12-pounder from our friend Brandon Bennett-Young, who's bringing a big-wheeled Wumbo-esque robot. So, you know, huge wheels and a horizontal spinner instead of a vert, giving the robot, quote, weird gyroscopic effects. Should be a lot of fun. I want to open it up. Any other thoughts on the 12s? Any other robots that you're going to be watching or you think are interesting this weekend in that weight class?
I'm going to attempt to watch Blue Cheese.
Oh, God. Yeah. Don't blink.
Yeah, I have to watch it live because they never catch it on camera. So he's updated that robot. Matt's been working really hard on it, and he's made quite a few changes. And the robot shouldn't explode this time on big hits. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I love the Blue Cheese story, and I honestly think that the robot can win a Golden Dumpster one day, just because it is so min-maxed for power. The reason why it explodes violently is because Matt is spinning it at ungodly speeds, and he really, really, really wants to have the most powerful 12-pounder in the field, and, like, I love that. He's just dumping so much power into that robot. It's provided us just the most spectacular disassemblies in my, you know, career as a combat robot announcer. Just like pieces of the robot hitting all four corners simultaneously. I love that. That's great. I want to see more of that. So I hope that it's dialed in, you know, for Matt's sake. I love Matt. But if it's not, and we're going to see some violent disassemblies again this weekend, I'm all for that as well. Any other robots that we want to highlight?
I'm excited to see Mind Flayer. He brings that robot down to the shop, down to the hive quite often, and it's so silly. Like, when he says that it has weird gyroscopic effects, it has weird gyroscopic effects. It's so crazy.
Yes, this is like the big Wumbo from Brandon. Yeah, I am stoked to see that. Oh, so yeah, Brandon's in Maryland. You're in Maryland. You've got the big test cage, right? So people are bringing their robots to your shop to run them. Is that right?
Yeah, so we have the cage open so people can message me or message anybody from Growing Stems. And set up a time to be able to come down and use the cage. We do charge like a small fee. It's like $20 an hour or something to use the cage just for maintenance fees and stuff. But it's one of the few large cages to be able to test like 12-pounders and 30-pounders in the area. So it's really nice. We've had Avalanche. We've had the Leatherbacks come down. Brandon comes down all the time, and obviously all the Honeycrack teams use the cage to test our robots and have pushing matches and practice driving and stuff.
I love that. That is so cool. Kyle, and any last thoughts on the 12s before we get into the 30s?
No, I just had a thought. So Zoe, I guess you guys technically now, if we're like going to use a growing up analogy, you're the house that has the video game system. You're the house that stocks Freezy Pops in the freezer for all the kids. Like, if you're in the Maryland area, that's the spot to be.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, like, we're in Southern Maryland, so we're still pretty far from people. So, like, from Baltimore, I think we're, like, 2 hours away. But if you don't have anywhere to test your 12 or your 30, it's a great resource. And, I mean, if anybody wants to come use it, I don't mind where you're coming from. You don't have to be from Maryland to come check it out.
Awesome. Oh, very cool. Very cool. All right, let's get into the 30s. And just before we start, you know, we've got Moxon right here at the top. Moxon winning January NHRL, winning the New Bots event. Originally built by Ricky Willems, it is a scaled down version of Mammoth. And Zoe, you're going to be running Moxon this weekend. What can we expect out of the robot? Have you seen it? Have you driven it? So, like, is it amazing? Has it changed at all, you know, since we last saw it on the stream?
Right now, it's not changed the version that I have, but it's down at the Hive with me so that Brandon and I could practice driving it. And Ricky, like, taught us all the everything we need to know about it. And Brandon actually brought Vorion, and we had both of them just kind of, like, Vorion wasn't using its weapon. We were just driving around to practice, like, catching it and stuff. And it threw Vorion into the wall. And all of us were just like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Because this is the first time that I had operated the weapon. Brandon was driving. And it was like, we had never touched this robot driving it before. And we are already, like, throwing Vorion and like, doing what needed to happen to win a match.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I'm a huge Mammoth fan. I've been a fan of Mammoth ever since the first time I saw it. Mammoth is actually the first heavyweight that Chris and Lindsay and I ever saw. Motorama 2020, maybe, I think, 2019. Maybe before 2018, Ricky brought Mammoth and parked it right in front of the audience. And that was our first Motorama ever. And we had no idea what it was. It confused us, but was exciting. And I just love that it's doing so well at the 30-pound level. Ricky did great at the January event. And I just think that design platform has a lot of room to run in the 30s. Just like the physics in the 30s is good for that robot. So I'm really, really stoked to see Moxon's performance. So best of luck this weekend, Zoe.
Thank you.
You're going to face some tough competition though.
Oh yeah.
This weekend, you know, right at the top, you know, hoping to qualify is Jameson Goh and his Sablaze-esque platform Megatron, which has gone 7-1 across the last two NHRLs and is hoping to add a third golden dumpster to its trophy case. Megatron is an older platform that really dominated in its 2021 NHRL season, taking up a golden Brett that year. But 30-pound technology has really caught up. And in 2024, the robot is facing stiff competition from robots like Moccasin, which Zoe is running, the Mammoth-inspired 30-pounder, Team WPI's punishing modular bot Waddles, and Ares, a vert built by the combat robotics team at MIT, which is hungry to prove that they've got what it takes to hang with the best in the nation. Kyle, your thoughts on the top of the field in the 30s? Who do you think is looking good to take home the golden dumpster in the 30s this weekend?
I gotta say it. I think Waddles has a phenomenal chance of taking it. Brian Boxall okay. really showed he's dialed it in with his 3-pounder at the last event, Eruption. He's working on a slightly different level right now. I'm very excited to see how he goes with that machine. And he's got, you know, that modular ability to really take on anybody in the field. I think that he's got a great chance.
Amazing, amazing.
Waddles is being driven by Connor this time.
No way, that's so cool.
Yeah, I think that's they switched up the team a little bit. I know Jaren's on that team now. But yeah, Connor's driving that robot now, so hopefully all that WPI luck helps him out.
Yeah, for sure.
Connor's a great driver. Connor's a former housebot driver at NHRL. When I was reading the Waddles intake form, Brian was saying that Waddles is now the team WPI 30-pounder, kind of like collective robot. It's owned by the team, and he's kind of passing it on now that he's graduating. And they're going to be in charge of kind of making improvements to the bot going forward. So yeah, it's in new hands. It's a very strong robot. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a dark horse, though. You know, like it has a tendency to explode in the past as well. You know, you know, I've seen some violent disassemblies. You know, from Waddles as well. It's a scary robot. When you hear it spinning up, it strikes fear. You know, so yeah, interesting. Okay, dark horse. Lindsay, your pick for the top of the fields in the 30s.
It's hard for me to root against or bet against Megatron, so
yeah,
going Megatron.
Okay, all right, Zoe. I feel like you're contractually obligated, you know, to say Moccasin, right? You know, in the 30s.
All I gotta say is Megatron, Waddles. They all have a lot of grabby bits on them.
Okay, good. And listen, this is not pandering, Zoe, but I also think Moccasin is going to go all the way this weekend. I think that the robot is just hard to plan for. You know, I could see a Megatron Moccasin finals on Saturday, which I would love. So we're going to have to see how the bracket shakes out, but I am really, really stoked about that. Now, I do want to highlight another two interesting designs in the 30s, and then I'll open it up to any 30s that we want to talk about, both of which are using electric fans for suction, which I find really interesting. The first robot is Grippy, a brand new robot from rookie builder Daniel Gott. Grippy uses a vacuum system that sucks the robot to the ground and a conveyor belt-like system embedded in the forks to feed opponents into its vert. I've never seen that before. Really hope that it works. I love a new idea. So conveyor belts inside the forks, very cool. And finally, I want to highlight an intriguing bot built by Duck builder Hal Rucker, who will make his NHRL debut this weekend alongside his daughter Hannah. Hal is known for complicated, beautiful designs, and his robot Goose fits the bill. Get it? The bill, you guys. I worked on that for like so long. With an electric ducted fan to create suction and a helicopter-style horizontal that is fully invertible. Duck's on display, of course, at NHRL's Bot Museum, so if you're a Duck fan, Norwalk is the place to be this weekend. Your thoughts on Goose, your thoughts on Grippy, your thoughts on other 30s to watch for in the field this weekend?
Very excited about Goose. I always love to see Hal Rucker and his designs. They're usually phenomenal. I know he's been wanting to come to this event for a long time. So I'm very excited to see them. Man, 30-pound division is it's going to be like where the big hits happen. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I do think that at the end of the day, you're probably going to see Jameson go in that final, especially since he doesn't have his kryptonite there this time.
True. Lindsay, you know, your thoughts on the 30s and any other 30s that you're excited about?
Obviously, I'm going to echo how excited I am to see Goose. Just seeing Hal Rucker at NHRL is going to be thrilling. And, you know, I hope that he gets the bug and flies out more often, because he always has such a unique, you know, design ethos for his robots. So I'm really hoping to see more of him. But I am also very excited, A, to see the return of Ares from MIT, who did so well last time.
Yeah.
And I think it was Gil in the NHRL Slack channel showed the MIT flyer that the combat robotics group has like put out to kind of recruit people, and it's really funny. Maybe we can put it in our Discord or something. But it's like basically like, you know, chastising people for wanting to use their engineering for big serious products, projects, when they could build fun things like combat robots. and it looked like it was made in MS Paint, which has a soft spot in my heart. So excited to see them, you know, try and grow, and they're already back, which is exciting. And then, yeah, I'm really excited to see Barbie and Ken. Which is a 30-pound multi-bot from James Wynn and Brian Boxall. And I don't know, like, I feel like both of those competitors have had such deep runs and have built such powerful robots that I would not be surprised if this made a deep run as a dark horse in this competition. From what I understand, it's a scaled up Stoneforge and a scaled up I don't know, is it Eruption? I think I should double check that. I'm so sorry.
Maybe Fireball.
Yeah, it might be Fireball. So that's gonna be, yes, yeah, sorry, a scaled up Fireball. The name is exciting. Is it gonna be Barbie and Ken themed? Like, I really hope so.
Yeah.
So that would be fun. Those are what I'm looking forward to.
We need more pink robots. You know, Prom Hedda has cornered the pink robot market for too long. I'm also like, I love that the Wreckers are coming to NHRL. I know that Hal's wanted to come out for a long time. Hannah and Hal, they're from my hometown of Palo Alto, California. So I have to root for them, of course. You know, just as hometown, you know, camaraderie. And Hannah, you know, recently started going to college in Boston. So I'm hoping to see Hal and the family out a lot more, you know, as they come to kind of kill two birds with one stone, keep building amazing combat robots, and seeing their daughter who's in college. Hannah had come to an NHRL and had helped out with her university team. I've seen her maybe at two events now at this point, but really just kind of diving in and continuing to build robots is really very, very cool now that she's on the East Coast. Zoe, I'm going to give you the last word in the 30s, you know, as you yourself running a 30. Anything else that you want to tell us about the robot or any other robots in the 30s that you're excited about this weekend?
I'm excited about Barbie and Ken. I don't really know much about that robot, so I am pretty excited to see how that's going to go. If Waddles and Barbie and Ken have to fight, I think that would be fun.
Yes. Yes. I want to see more Team WPI on Team WPI action, for sure. yes. And of course, we're going to be watching the performance of Moccasin and, you know, cheering you on silently in our little hearts, because, you know, we can't show too much favoritism, but...
you can show favoritism. Like, I won't mind.
I hope that you go all the way.
Me too.
This weekend. All right, and that's it for this month's NHRL preview. After the break, we're going to return with this week's installment of Robots Around the World.
Welcome back from the break. Time now for Robots Around the World. This week, we're traveling to Alaska, where officials at Fairbanks International Airport are dressing up a robot like a fox in hopes of scaring wildlife away from their runways. The robot is a modified Spot from Boston Dynamics. It's designed to wear a faux fur coat. I like that it's faux fur. We're still being, you know, animal friendly here. A faux fur coat and chase away birds and other wildlife when they get too close to the airport. There were 94 animal strikes at airports in Alaska last year, but none of which resulted in human fatalities, so that's good. The robot, which is named Aurora, won out over other ideas, such as arming people with paintball guns and spraying the runway with grape juice. That one is a mystery to me. The grape juice, I feel like that would attract at least bugs, if not animals. I don't know, so I'm glad that one got shut down. But you know what? This is an application for a robot that I can really get behind. It sounds ridiculous. But, hey, that's great. Good job, Alaska.
I agree on the grape juice. You know, like, I feel like there'd be so many bears just licking the pavement at the runway, you know? And they'd be like, oh, I can't believe it. We spent our Boston Dynamics money on, like, 10 million gallons of grape juice that we had to fly up here or something, you know? This was a terrible idea. Aurora is very cool. It has a custom paint job. It's obviously named after the Aurora Borealis in Alaska. And it's going to be remote control operated. So there's a very lucky set of robot operators who are just going to work at the airport and watch for animals. And they get to drive a spot around all day long, which is so cool. So yeah, good on you, Alaska. This is a non-creepy application of Boston Dynamics technology.
I mean, the thought of a spot wearing a faux fur coat is like a little creepy.
No,
but I'm into it. I'm into it.
Check out the Furby robot from Evan and Caitlin. Talk about Zoe, faux fur.
So listen, okay. I don't know. Lindsay, have we talked about this on the podcast? I'm not sure. Oh, maybe we have. I am an enthusiast of long Furbies.
Of course you are, Luke.
I don't know what that means, but, you know. If you want a good time and you're looking for a new hashtag to follow on Instagram or TikTok, you know, search for long Furby. You know, like, it's horrifying. And I love Furby related art. Like, you know, there's that person who like made a Furby like organ, you know, like they could play like a piano organ and the Furbies sing. Have you guys seen this one?
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare though.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't consume a lot of long Furby content, so I don't think I've seen this one, no.
Wait, but Lindsay, it's right up your alley. It's creepy looking Furbies that have like hands and they just have those unblinking eyes.
And their bodies that are is very right long. Up my alley. You are right.
Okay.
How is that right up your alley? Hold on. Lindsay, I've known you for a long time now. I don't understand.
I'm being sarcastic because whose alley is that?
Apparently,
I was gonna say if anybody's alley, that sounds like it's Luke Stangles.
Okay,
not a furry, doesn't own a panda fursuit. Luke Stangle.
Yeah, listen. For fans of the podcast, if you want to get Lindsay something really nice for her birthday, we'll attach a PO box, you know, and you can send her long Furbies, you know, in the mail. It's gonna be great.
Wait, a long Furby is something you can buy?
Yeah.
I thought you were saying it was long content that contained Furbies.
Oh no, my no, god, no. Zoe. What?
No, Zoe, it's not that.
Zoe, just like, if you have a phone nearby and you have Instagram or TikTok, just put in long Furby, you know? So
it's
we can all be on the
safe
same.
For work.
It's,
long
it's
Furby for sale,
for work.
Says Google. Oh, yeah. No, okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Sorry,
I love
Zoe.
Her live reaction to seeing Zoe. This monstrosity.
I think I'm my so stomach sorry. Hurts now.
As it should. Yeah. As it
sorry,
should.
Zoe. I'm really
Zoe,
sorry.
Zoe, I just assumed because you're consuming, you know, Boston Dynamics Spot Dog as Furby content that, you know, you would, you know.
Evan and Caitlin drove
fan.
The Burger Bot at OpenSauce. Of course I watched their channel. They introduced the Furby content to me. I didn't go seeking it out.
Got it. Well, okay, I've got a Google alert for, you know, any mentions of Furbies, so, you know. And, you know, you guys look at me like I'm the freak, okay? All right? This stuff is normal, all right?
And from a certain point of view in certain corners of the internet, Luke, yes, this is normal.
Look, I said this before we started recording. Art is supposed to make you feel something, and long Furbies make me feel really uncomfortable, and they're so creepy, and that's great. Okay, so
I'm on the long Furby subreddit, and yeah, these are the most normal people I've ever seen. Absolutely, nothing weird here.
Yeah,
totally. No.
Well, that's about it for us this week. You know, go on Etsy, buy a long Furby. You know, if you want to bring it to Saturday's NHRL here in Norwalk, Connecticut, you know, I'll sign it. I'll sign its little Furby face. And I guess we'll be back in your feed after the event with a recap. And hopefully, Zoe, you got to have you back, you know, after you win your Golden Dumpster with Moccasin this weekend. Maybe we'll have like a two-time back-to-back, you know, guest here. This is great. We will, we'll see you on the stream. It's going to start at 10 a.m. Eastern, and, maybe we'll see you live. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Wait, can I put in a quick plug before we all say bye?
Yeah, Lindsay, of course.
Catch Magnitude at Robo Games this weekend. Its weapon motor has been upgraded. It has nearly instantaneous spin-up time. It is 30% more powerful. And Chad told me that for the first time in his illustrious and long robotics career, this is the first time he's built something that legitimately scares him. So yes. Go see it.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Good. More and, arena a quick plug breaches, for me. Lindsay.
A quick plug for me. Next week, we're going to try to find yet another subreddit community weird enough that it doesn't have combat robotics crossover. So, you know, look forward to that.
Nice. Good. All right. We'll see you then, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.